Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Hypervisor Huddle. I'm Hannah Drake, site editor of SearchVMware.com, and joining me, as always, is Bridget Vitello, one of our news writers. Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
And today we have Chris Wolf with us. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Hannah?
Good. Do you want to give our listeners a brief background of what you do and who you are?
Sure. I'm Chris Wolf. I'm a senior analyst with Burton Group. I work in their data center strategy service and have been covering virtualization topics on both the server and client side since 2000.
Okay, great. So the reason that we decided to bring Chris to the show today is because Bridget wrote a blog recently on the SearchVMware.com blog known as the Virtualization Pro blog, and it was about how the H1N1/swine flu epidemic is actually increasing the adoption of virtual desktops. Bridget, do you want to just kind of recap what the blog said?
Well, yeah, so basically I had a meeting with VMware, and just in conversation they mentioned that, you know, they've been getting more calls and more interest from enterprises as people are, you know, panicked over this H1N1 thing. They might be staying home more or whatever. So, you know, why not use VDI? And I guess that's they're seeing some correlation between adoption and the flu. And, you know, it kind of makes sense. I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing some marketing around VDI and these pandemics. But so Chris had some data that correlated with that as well. Is that the case?
Yeah, it is. We've been working with quite a few clients over the past several months regarding pandemic preparedness. And, you know, one of the issues with it is that if you're not even thinking about the issue until now, it's almost too late to get a real tangible and secure solution in place, at least this time around, perhaps. But for pandemic in general, it's high on the radar of a lot of organizations. But the main issue is how do I connect users with potentially untrusted home systems to my corporate network and feel good about it?
Yeah, so basically companies that don't want to lose any productivity because, you know, if some scare, whatever the case may be, VDI is a good way to prepare for something like that.
Is VDI the only option, though? What else are you seeing out there, Chris, for how?
Yeah, it's definitely not. And, I mean, sometimes it's also just about preventive medicine, if you want to call it that, where if I have an employee who's just maybe has a very small symptom, I'd rather he just stay home rather than infect the office. So having that user equipped even before a potential virus like that strikes just makes it easier to support business continuity and keep, you know, even the heroes from coming in. But, you know, there are other alternatives. You know, terminal services or ZenApp or RDS are still very popular ways to connect remote users. And the other thing that many organizations are looking at is getting more of their core services to web-enabled portals. That might be a SaaS-based offering, say, for SharePoint or for Exchange, which are two critical applications to the business. And that's not to say that I need to outsource that work, which some organizations are doing, but the other alternative is to make it accessible to my remote users.
Mm-hmm. And so VMware just came out with their new Vue product. That's why I met with them. And I'm just curious what you thought of the features. I mean, it seems like really the only new thing in their product is the PC over IP protocol. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. PCOIP is definitely what's getting the most buzz, but they're continuing to do more, I would say, on the management side as well. You're seeing tighter integration with the Vue console, with other platforms such as storage. I mean, VMware continues to work closely with vendors like NetApp and EMC to streamline provisioning as well. Seen more work with them with other partners such as Wise. So while, you know, on the surface you might say, well, there's just a few real things to get excited about here, the under-the-hood core architecture is continuing to round out pretty well. And VMware, I think, is doing a nice job getting a lot of their partners in the mix, too. And we have clients that have done very well with Wise terminals on the endpoint, for example. And some are looking at their technology as well for devices like the iPhone, for example, as a way to connect users to the corporate network.
Yeah, and so how does the new VMware Vue 4 compare to Zen Desktop 4? It seems like Citrix is a little bit ahead of VMware in terms of what they're offering for end-user experience.
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of a true framework for virtual desktops, Citrix does a couple of things very well. One is that they can broker to multiple delivery technologies, which is a feature I've been asking VMware for some time.
With FlexCast, right?
With FlexCast, exactly. So most IT shops have terminal services or ZenApp in some capacity, and being able to leverage policies to allow IT to select a delivery method based on, say, the user's physical location or group membership and things like that is is important and is something that our clients are looking for, because early on the solutions were more about kind of a VDI being its own little isolated project. But today, where organizations are looking at it, VDI is part of a more integrated solution that also involves the Zenapp Farm and application streaming and other technologies as well.
And so what about client hypervisor? How important is that going to be to enterprises? I know Citrix won't have theirs out until, you know, sometime next year. I don't know about VMware's plans.
It's important in that many of our clients, especially the large enterprises and even some of the small and medium enterprises, see it as something that's strategic and important to them to be able to do things like supporting employee-owned PCs. But the catch is that most of those organizations say, you know what, we like the idea of it, but until we see something real in terms of endpoint security and being able to support and enforce security, say, at the hypervisor level, to do things like leverage TPMs to attest the integrity of a virtual machine before I let it start, and until I start to see some of those features, I'm not going to make this a mainstream solution where I'm going to be trusting an employee-owned PC. So most of those clients were actually hopeful that they would see at least a 1.0 product in early 2010, and then possibly plan for being able to leverage some of these tools when the management starts to mature, and that might be the 2011 or 2012 timeframe.
Yeah. What do you think about desktop virtualization adoption? Both VMware and Citrix are saying that 2010 is going to be, quote-unquote, the year of, you know, desktop vert. Do you have any data, or have you? What are your thoughts on the adoption rates?
Yeah, I can tell you that among the large enterprise clients that Burton Group talks to, between, I would say, in the neighborhood of 30 to 40% of them have some type of desktop virtualization initiative for 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be doing a full-scale server-hosted VDI for their information worker. That's rarely the case. For most of them, they're looking at doing server-hosted desktops to support call centers or task workers or general contractors. But they're also looking at bringing in other technologies to work with their physical desktop environment, and that includes selecting an application virtualization platform, as well as looking at more intelligent ways to manage a profile. You can call that profile virtualization, and that might be, you know, AppSensor, RTO software, or Symantec, for example.
Right, and I sort of expected to see RTO software being OEM'd with VMware Refuel 4, but that's not the case yet. And end-user experience is really important for desktop virtualization to really take off, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, end-user experience is a big part, as well as TCO reduction. I mean, some of the numbers out there I think are borderline laughable with the technology where it's at today. A key way to reduce TCO is to have users do more. I mean, you know, fast food places figured that out years ago, right? I mean, we get our own sodas. So, you know, it's the same idea with desktops. I mean, even talking to vendors about giving users more capabilities to recover their own files, many vendors are saying, well, you know, maybe that's not our territory. Maybe the backup vendors can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the backup vendors are saying, well, you know, maybe that's a good idea, but we need a little more guidance from the virtualization vendors. And,
right.
You know, meanwhile, that's a key part of user self-service that's just sitting there and not being addressed.
Right. So at this point, if you, you know, get VMware View 4 and you want to give your users their own personalized desktop, you have to, the customer has to go to some third-party vendor to get it.
In terms of some personalization software. Sure. I mean, Citrix has that natively, being one of the only vendors that can. I mean, you can also look at like Quest V Workspace as well. So there's some solutions out there that are trying to bundle the entire experience.
Now, is there an instance where, you know, using VMware View would make sense over other technologies?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's there's the business case there. If the IT organization is centralized and say there's really no division between the server and desktop business units, it's really a single entity with some overlap. In a lot of those cases, View 4 is at the top of the list because those environments already have a VMware infrastructure in place. Where you have a more compartmentalized, I guess you can say, IT organization, then oftentimes the hypervisor is in play as part of the virtual desktop assessment.
Yeah, and the more typical shop is, the desktop guys and the server guys don't play together, typically. I think that's, Citrix can work on any hypervisor, and I think that's going to help them in the long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And when folks talk about Citrix supporting ESX or supporting Hyper-V,
mm-hmm.
They say, well, it's just proof that Zen Server is not going to be around long, and that's completely wrong.
Right.
I mean, in my opinion, it means Citrix understands the industry,
right.
And they would be stupid to ignore those other back-end platforms when there's a lot of money to be made there.
Yeah, especially when, I mean, 90% of the market has VMware, you know, ESX, and but Hyper-V is definitely growing. You know, that I was just talking to Citrix, and they're saying that the ratio of people who use Hyper-V is, it's grown 5-10% in the last, you know, year and a half, as far as people who they've won contracts with for for putting their, you know, their desktop virtualization platform on.
Absolutely. I mean, Hyper-V's gotten a lot of growth in the SME space, but there's also a number of large enterprises that are starting to bring it in for specific roles as well. It might start within a single department, but it's definitely starting to penetrate.
Do you think that VMware View can pick up a larger market share of the virtual desktop space?
Well, if you go back the last couple of years, the VDI deployments have been so small by comparison. I mean, relative to the number of desktops in the industry, that there, you know, there just hasn't been a lot happening. This coming year, I think that's where it starts to change. So VMware View will make some more noise. But one of the areas where, you know, you can say, you know, compared to Citrix, they don't have FlexCast. They don't have an answer to self-service like Citrix has with Dazzle. So there are some pieces that's missing from the VMware View story. But one thing they do have that they haven't spoken enough about is their relationship with the service provider network and being able to deploy virtual desktops to users, but also have the option to, say, outsource disaster recovery to any number of 1,000 service providers is a pretty big story, and that's something that I think VMware needs to be talking about quite a bit more.
All right. Well, Bridget, did you have any more questions?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think, you know, next year will be pretty big for desktop in terms of this last year and a half has been slower than anyone predicted with
right.
the economy. And now that the technology has matured and businesses have a little bit more money to spend, I think that adoption will increase and maybe people will pay more attention to this stuff.
Yeah, what about you, Chris? What do you think going forward? Do you think
I agree, but I think the vendors also have a role here. Organizations are very smart about money nowadays, and they're not buying VDI because it's cool. So, you know, slow down with things like HD graphics and things that are nice to look at but don't pay the bills. And focus a little bit more on self-service and be realistic with TCO and what organizations can expect. If you make these exorbitant claims, your customers just roll their eyes and it just, you know, that just breeds more cynicism for the technology.
Right.
Okay, well, I think that wraps it up for this edition of the Hypervisor Huddle. Thanks very much, Chris, for joining us.
Thanks for the invite.
Hopefully we'll see all our listeners.